Well, as we begin this year, might as well address an elephant in the room, which is a problem we all deal with. We're going to look at the problem in general this week. We're going to focus in on one narrow aspect of the problem next week. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. As you're turning to 1 Peter chapter 5, on a scale of 1 to 10, when it comes to feeling anxious, how many of you would score at least a 5 or 6? No, I'm not asking for a show of hands. But I will say this. In this congregation this morning, there are two groups of people. There are people who live at some stage with an issue with anxiety, and there's people who live in a state of denial. So remember that as we read our text. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and as a witness to the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Now notice carefully now these next few verses. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Keep your Bibles open right here. This is God's Word. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that because we share common issues with those to whom this word was first written, and because this is your word, it speaks to us where we are. We pray, God, that you'll help us to understand this word that is before us, and that you'll help us to live in light of it. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In the summer months of 1988, Bobby McFerrin's song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, ruled the number one spot on the pop music charts. You may remember that song, what may really stick out in your mind is what an annoying chorus it was. Repeated over and over and over, don't worry, be happy, don't worry, be happy. To a calypso beat, don't worry, be happy. Repeated until it stuck in our minds like Velcro laced with super glue. Why the appeal, besides the annoying repetition? The appeal is this. This song appealed to people worldwide because we do worry, and anxiety makes us unhappy. Recent Gallup poll reveals that, and just generalizing here, it's basically in this range, I can give you specific percentages, but basically 7 out of 10 people in the United States worry about losing our job, losing money, not having enough money because our 100% cotton paycheck shrink in the hot wash of taxes and inflation. Money worries consume many people. That's why we're going to be looking at that next week. We worry about our family, our spouse, our children, our grandchildren, our extended family. We worry about the future because of crime and violence and the threat of terrorism, because of government overreach, tech takeover, because of the threat of the national power grid going down and nuclear bombs sending us back to the dark ages, World War III, our health, because of dying, or even worse, dying alone. We worry. Hey, it's what we do. My mom one time did a cross stitch, which she hung on the wall in the den. Cross stitch read as follows. Why trust when you can worry? My dad didn't like that. She said, Winnie, would you please take that down? This is what she said. What's the matter, honey? Are you worried about what the members will think if they see the sign? Which brings up the question, do Christians worry? I'll answer that with another question. Do Christians have a pulse? Friends, belonging to God's forever family does not give us an unlisted phone number when it comes to worry calling us and texting us. And since we worry, what we just read together is our mail with our name on the envelope. You know, because of God's grace in Christ, we are, and 1 Peter makes this clear, we'll be looking at this whole book later on this year, Lord willing, we are pilgrims. We are sojourners traveling through the wilderness of this world. And we have a likely source of anxiety and worry that non-Christians do not have. And that's this. We have in our lives the potential for persecution because of our faith. Because, as this verse says, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, and he has several agents he uses, including people to persecute us. The problem of worry is our problem, and the good news is God gives us real help when we worry. Isn't that good to know? God gives us real help, not if, but when we worry. Two considerations from this very simple, direct text designed to help us. First consideration is this. Let's consider the action we're told to take. That's the first consideration. Notice it says here in verse 7, casting all your anxiety. Now notice here right from the get-go, we discover anxiety, worry, it's not something we hold on to. It's not a treasure. It's not a keepsake. Worry's not your bestie. Anxiety's not a comfort food to consume. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, there's several word pictures that help you see the real face of worry and anxiety. Anxiety is the Boston Strangler of emotions. It strangles you emotionally. Worry is 200-proof whiskey we cannot even take a shot of and still stay sober in our thinking. Worry is a terrorist sabotaging our thinking. Anxiety is a thief determined to steal your peace. You see, in the battleground that is this world, anxiety is the arch enemy of your faith. Anxiety is that underground gopher chewing the roots of your faith. Anxiety chews away at your life until, having eaten away the root system completely, anxiety will leave us like dry stalks stuffed into life's soil with no way of absorbing nourishment, nutrients. Anxiety leaves us high and dry. We become like, in the words of Psalm 1, the chaff which the wind blows away. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you cannot even begin to make a case for holding on to anxiety. Still, we just don't want to let it go, do we? You know, one way we hold on to anxiety is by being dishonest about our struggle with anxiety and worry. You know, this text addresses pride in a number of ways, and, you know, prideful Christians, we pretend we have no anxiety. Disingenuous Christians go through life wearing a plastic mask with smiley face on it. Cool, calm, and collected on the outside. By all outward appearances, we appear to be as relaxed as a bowl of cooked spaghetti. Nevertheless, the insides of people wearing that anxiety-hiding mask are twisted into a pretzel of worry. We know the feeling, but because we're driven by pride, which is one reason why this text says to humble yourself, pride to keep up appearances, we rationalize, well, you know, because we're Christians, we never worry. In our pride, we'd rather be dishonest and hypocritical and wear a mask than to come clean about what we know deep inside. And you know you worry. Don't be dishonest about your anxiety. Now, there's another subtle, sneaky way we hold on to our anxiety, and that's this. Not only are we dishonest about it, but we think our anxiety somehow, our worry somehow indicates how much we care about what we worry about. You know, we care about our family, our finances, our future, and we show we care by worrying about our family, our finances, and our future. For some strange reason, we begin to think that worry equals showing how much we care. Some people even sanctify anxiety to the status of a virtue. I worry so much about you because I care so much about you. And then we turn that on other people. Now, you don't care about me because if you cared, you'd worry more about me. Friends, worrying does not equal caring. Or to turn around, not worrying does not equal not caring. See, our willingness to fret and to wring our hands is not an indication of how deeply we care. Still, we believe our anxiety indicates how much we care, how much our hearts are engaged. Listen, I really care about you, and here's what I'll do to show you how much I care. I'll worry with you about whatever you're worried about. Hey, let's worry together. And we'll feel so much better when we join our worry together. How therapeutic. Please tell me, how does worrying help anyone with their anxiety? But still, we insist worry is effectual. You know, I looked up effectual in the dictionary, and according to Webster, effectual means this: producing or able to produce a desired effect. We want to fix our problem with anxiety, and somehow we've convinced ourselves, you know, worrying will fix the problem. Can you imagine riding down the highway, you see your car, the service light comes on, and you turn to the other people in the car and say, hey, let's worry about this light, and maybe the engine will fix itself. We're convinced anxiety is a 5-in-1 tool for fixing our problem with worry. Or maybe being anxious will somehow convince God how much we care. If we worry enough, we can twist God's arm behind his back and make God cry uncle and take away our worries. Friends, worry, anxiety, wringing your hands, staying up at night, fretting never has, never will accomplish anything good. You just show me a verse in the Bible that says, verily I say to you, if you worry, I will pay attention to your worry, and I will relieve your anxiety. Worry is not a shout-out to get God's attention. Worry is this. Worry is an exercise in futility. It's like trying to fly a kite in your living room. Jesus puts it this way. We'll look at this next week. Which of you, by worrying, can add 18 inches to your height or extend how far down life's road you go by another 18 inches? But still, do we not say to God, Lord, maybe if I worry, and I worry a lot about, you know, growing taller, living longer, maybe you'll answer my worry and you'll make me taller and make me live longer. You see how irrational and unbiblical that is? Friends, this text is a post-it reminder. As pilgrims passing through this fallen world, we will be on a first-name basis with a problem named anxiety. As a matter of fact, anxiety because of persecution, it's all over the place. The New Testament, 2 Corinthians 3:12, all people who want to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. All people who seek to live out their lives, all Christians, you will face some form of persecution at school, at work, in the media, by the lawmakers. This persecution, it can be social, it can be psychological, it can be physical. Listen, the devil enlists citizens and systems to do his work. He is the prince of the powers of the air of this fallen world. Yes, We don't like persecution. We don't want it. But what do? We get fretful, anxious, full of worry. Look, we're going to be anxious. I know. We are. But anxiety is not something to hold on to. And friends, if you continue to hold on to anxiety, you will feel more and more strangled by this deadly python snake of anxiety. See what this verse says? Don't keep your anxiety. Cast it away. Let it go. But the question is, where? That leads us to our second consideration. Not only are we told the action we are told to take, but notice in the second place, let's consider the target of the action we're told to take. The action we're told to take, and secondly, the target of the action we're told to take. Notice this verse doesn't say, notice again, verse 7, cast your anxiety in whatever direction you want to. Now, another mistake we make when it comes to anxiety is when we're anxious, like children at a mud fight, we hurl our anxiety in every direction, every target we can find. We cast our anxiety onto our families. Come on, worry with me, family. We cast our anxiety into our friends. Let me call you and tell you what you need to be anxious for me about. We cast our anxieties onto our churches, onto our politicians. Hey, we cast our worries and anxieties around the way people on a Mardi Gras float throw beads to people lining Canal Street in New Orleans. And when we indiscriminately dump the ice bucket of our worries on whoever we feel like dumping our worries on, which, by the way, usually is whoever gives us the time of day, we get other people wet with the ice-cold waters of our anxiety. If you've ever been soaked with the ice water of someone else's worries, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I was doing okay, and then you came here and made me worry. Verse 7, cast your worries, notice, on him. Cast your worries onto the only person in the universe big enough, strong enough, wise enough to handle your anxieties. Friends, God and God alone can actually do something about your worries. God can handle all the anxieties of all God's people all over the world, all the time, at once, and not even break out a sweat. We cast our anxiety on God, who is able, in the words of Jude 24 and 25, to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the throne of his presence with exceeding joy. Can you just imagine with me for just a moment the peace that would permeate your marriage, your family, your workplace, your schools, our institutions of government, our churches, if we would just cast all our anxieties on the only person qualified and able to shoulder all our anxieties? The target where we cast our anxieties is God. We've considered the action we're to take. We've considered the target where we cast our anxieties. Third and final consideration is this. Let's consider the reason why we take the action we take. Let's consider the reason why we take the action we take. You know, oftentimes we think that presidents, kings, rulers, people in authority can give us some measure of peace and help us with our anxieties. Because we think other people care more about us than they really do. We go to people, we go to institutions, we throw this massive burden on people. We want to make other fallen human beings responsible to do something to relieve our anxieties, and we're frustrated because you've done nothing to relieve my anxiety. We're frustrated at the end of the day because we are asking other people to do something that only God can do. Other people may calm you down for a while, but no one can settle your heart. No one can be your Tums giving you relief from the acid indigestion of your anxiety. No person in your life, please hear this, can hold up under the massive burden of being your Prince of Peace. No other person can do that. Listen, when you pressure other people to do something to make you feel less anxious, you might find out not only do these people not have the power to do what you're asking them to do, you may find out, hey, they're occupied with their own problems. Listen, just take this for what it's worth. No one's going to care about you as much as you wish they did. After all, you're one of 8 billion people in this world who worry. One of 8 billion. Friends, fallen people living on a fallen planet, consumed with our own anxieties, they're not the solution. The solution is theological. God alone, He's full of wisdom, power, compassion, mercy. God alone is the one who, well, He loved us enough to come to this earth, to live for us and to die for us. We go to God because, look at this last phrase in verse 7, He cares for you. Think about that. No one ever has, no one ever will care for you as much as God does. No one. So when we're sinking in the stormy sea of our anxieties, don't let the waves of worry whisper, hey, nobody cares about you. Don't say that. Don't listen to that. If you hear that, that's fake news. God cares. The Lord God is revealed in Scripture as being full of compassion, full of mercy, 100% aware of our anxieties, fully able to lift us up out of that stormy sea and to help us cross anxieties, waves, and winds, and land on heaven's peaceful shores. Yes, there is a great high priest who neither slumbers nor sleeps. Jesus always lives to intercede for us. He prays for us 24/7. Listen, Jesus carries our groanings, our travails. He carries our anxieties directly to the throne room of God. Again, don't let your anxieties lie to you. Listen, with 1,000 voices, with 10,000 sentences, your anxieties are going to scream to you. You're alone. Nobody cares. Don't listen to those voices. You're not alone. You're not abandoned. God cares for His people. This God revealed in Scripture always cares for you. And how do we know? Everyone jot these verses down. Romans 5:8. God demonstrated His own love for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. Friends, if God loved you enough to send Jesus into this world to live and to die for you, don't you know that the cross that we're reminded of every Sunday when we walk in this church, the cross confirms God's care for us? You know, a couple of weeks ago, families exchanged presents. We gave something to our family members. Hopefully they gave something back to us. When it comes to dealing with worry and anxiety, there is an exchange. There's an exchange of care. See, here's the exchange. We give our cares to God, and the Lord gives us His care. We give the Lord our anxiety. The Lord gives us peace because He cares for us, because He loves you so much. He demonstrated His love by sending Jesus to live and die for you. So now I hope you understand. Instead of keeping your anxiety, cast your anxiety upon God's shoulders, because we know He cares for us. So that leaves us with one important question, and that's this. How do you hand your worries over to God? Well, please turn with me very quickly over to Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to show you how you handle your anxieties, how you hand them over to the Lord. And by the way, these two verses would be wonderful verses for you to memorize this year. Think about it. You can memorize these two verses. You can have it memorized by the end of the day easy. Here it is. Here's how we handle our anxieties. Here's how we hand them over to the Lord. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Look carefully. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, and here it is, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and notice what will happen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, literally will march sentinel around your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, like soldiers offering security to your hearts and minds. So you can say something like this. You know, Lord, I can't handle all this anxiety I'm feeling about, fill in the blank. Family, relationships, workplace, health, finances, fear of the future, you name it. I mean, we are anxiety waiting to happen. Right now, whatever anxiety is weighing on your heart, and think of one right now. Whatever anxiety is actually weighing on your heart, why don't you today tell your Heavenly Father about that? And thank Him because He's promised to take care of that anxiety. We could say, you know, God, I do know this. You want me to let this go. You want me to take this heavy burden, take it off my shoulders, cast my burden onto your infinitely strong shoulders. Lord, help me to let it go and put it on your shoulders. And here's why, Lord. Because I know from Scripture that you care for me. In other words, to quote a line from a famous hymn, we take it to the Lord in prayer. Now, friends, I want you to consider this. The people to whom Peter wrote this letter had a lot more reasons than you do to be anxious. They did not know if today would be their last day or not. Imagine that, waking up every day in a situation in a country where you did not know whether today would be your last day or not. And God tells them and tells us, cast all your anxieties upon God because He cares for you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that is how you handle the problem of anxiety. And next week we'll look at anxiety. We'll take a microscopic lens and look at one particular area that Jesus obviously knows where we're anxious, and see what Jesus says to us about worry and anxiety. Let's pray. Lord, we confess anxiety, worry, it's what we do. This year, 2023, instead of being anxious, Lord, help us to just take this anxiety, you know, and to offer it up in prayer. Make our requests known to you, God, and you promise that your peace will march sentinel over our lives. Lord, help us to come to you and to pray about our anxieties, realizing that if we do, you will give us your peace. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.